You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
A very good evening and a very warm welcome to your daily appointment with news from across the country and the world. We've told you everything that happened on Dalal Street, but there is a world beyond Dalal Street as well, and that is precisely what we give you a glimpse of on this podcast. 25 to 30 minutes tops and you will be caught up with the world. My name is Rakesh Sharma. You're listening to Stories of the Day right here on Money Control.
You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
In an effort to curb the menace of fake invoices and boost cash flow, the government has limited the input tax credit, that is ITC, to be availed by goods and services tax assessees if the details have not been uploaded by the supplier. However, the apprehension is that it will increase the workload for assessees. Right now, assessees need to file two return forms, GSTR1, that is outward sales with tax liability, and GSTR3B, summary returns with final tax payment. Since both are not auto-linked, this could result in showing higher liability, claiming higher input tax credit, and paying less tax. In other words, irrespective of the credit being visible in GSTR 2A, which is an auto-generated return for purchases, the service recipient used to claim credit without any restrictions, subject to having the invoice copy and satisfying other conditions. So that is the news from the GST department. Chinese President Xi Jinping arrived in Chennai today for a two-day informal summit with Prime Minister Modi in the coastal town of Mahabalipuram, some 50 kilometers away from Chennai. The Prime Minister has already reached Mahabalipuram, and right now I was looking at live footage of the two of them talking around the temples of Mahabalipuram with Modi dressed in traditional South Indian wear. The two leaders are expected to discuss the new and updated confidence-building measures along the border and trade, among other things. Sources said that PM Modi is likely to speak about the recent developments in Jammu and Kashmir only if raised by Xi. He is likely to explain the reasons and nuances behind Delhi's decision while conveying that Beijing has to be sensitive to India's core concerns. Modi and Xi are also likely to discuss the issue of terrorism. This is significant because the Financial Action Task Force under China's presidency is slated to meet from the 13th of October to the 18th of October and take up the issue of Pakistan's blacklisting. Sources said India will expect China to consider the case, quote-unquote, objectively. In earnings news, Infosys today posted a 2.2% year-on-year fall in consolidated net profit at 4,019 crore rupees for the quarter ended September 30th. The IT major had recorded a profit of 4,110 crore rupees in the year-ago period. Sequentially, the numbers grew 5.8%. The company also revised its FY20 revenue guidance to 9-10% in constant currency terms. In CC terms, Infosys posted a revenue growth of 11.4% year-on-year, while in US dollar terms, the numbers grew 9.9%. Indiabulls Real Estate today announced a buyback of up to 5 crore shares at 100 rupees each, which could cost the company up to 500 crore rupees. The buyback price is more than double of the current share price, which is ruling at about 43 rupees 40 paise on the BSE. In a regulatory filing, IBREL, that is Indiabulls Real Estate Limited, informed that its board of directors on Friday approved this proposal. The buyback would be through the tender offer route as prescribed by SEBI. All eligible existing holders or beneficial owners of the equity shares on a proportionate basis could participate. Pharmaceutical giant Ranbaxy Laboratories ex-promoter Shivinder Singh, his older brother Malvinder Singh, and three others have been sent to four-day police custody in a 740 crore rupee fraud case. They have been accused of misappropriating funds of Religare Finvest. The other three accused are Sunil Godhvani, Kavi Arora, and Anil Saxena. Malvinder Singh approached the Delhi High Court seeking to cancel the police case filed by the Economic Offences Wing, saying the FIR against them can only be investigated by the Serious Fraud Investigation Office and not by the Economic Offences Wing. The Delhi police said it wants to unearth the money trail and custodial interrogation of all the accused to confront them with the evidence the police has collected so far. Kavi Arora has filed a bail application on the grounds that he has been cooperating with the probe. Religare Finvest filed its complaint with the police against the Singh brothers in December. 5 months later, the brothers were charged with cheating, fraud and misappropriation of funds. Shivinder Singh and Malvinder Singh were heirs to the multi-billion dollar Ranbaxy Laboratories founded by their father. They sold it to Japanese firm Daiichi Sankyo in 2008 and focused on the family-owned Fortis Healthcare, a hospital chain, and Religare Enterprises, a financial services firm. In 2013, Daiichi moved an arbitration tribunal in Singapore, alleging that the brothers, while selling Ranbaxy, had concealed information about the US FDA and the Department of Justice investigating the company. The tribunal in 2016 had ordered the Singh brothers to pay Daiichi 2,562 crore rupees. The brothers challenged the decision, but in 2017, the Delhi High Court ordered them to pay up. Air India said yesterday that the second bond issue of the special purpose vehicle has been fully subscribed. The 10-year bonds of AIAHL, that is Air India Assets Holding Limited, worth 1,000 crore rupees, with a green shoe option of 6,000 crore rupees, was fully subscribed at the rate of 7.39%. The official said that the company received bids worth 21,736 crore rupees and has decided to accept the entire issue of 7,000 crore rupees. The special purpose vehicle of Air India for transferring part of its debt and assets had earlier raised another tranche of 7,000 crore rupees through a bonds issue. The bond issues will help disinvestment-bound Air India pare away some of its debt. According to a Credit Suisse report, there are very few female directors on board in Indian companies. According to this report, women in boardrooms is at a mere 15.2%, which is the third lowest in the APAC region. The report titled CS Gender 3000 in 2019 says that the global average is 20.6%. Globally, India ranks 23rd among the 56 countries in terms of women representation at senior levels and has grown by 4.3 percentage points in the last 5 years. So improvement, but not enough. The top three countries with a high woman headcount are France, Norway and Belgium at 44.4%, 40.9% and 35.9% respectively. Japan came in the second lowest at 5.7%. What are the other big pieces of news doing the rounds in India business? Farm cooperatives can play a key role in achieving a $5 trillion economy, according to Tomar. Well, we'll believe that. MG Motor to ramp up capacity by 50%. And the new rules are indicating that airlines have to inform passengers on flight delays over 30 minutes and gate change by SMS. This is DGCA to airlines. And petrol and diesel prices continue their downward trend. GEM has signed a pact with Union Bank of India to avail various services. And of course, passenger vehicle sales have declined for the 11th straight month, a drop of 24% in September. An explosion damaged an Iranian oil tanker traveling through the Red Sea near Saudi Arabia today, Iranian media have reported. There was no immediate word from Saudi Arabia on the reported blast. State television said the explosion damaged two storerooms aboard the unnamed oil tanker and caused an oil leak into the Red Sea. The state-run IRNA news agency and others relied on an online news report for their stores, while the semi-official ISNA news agency quoted an anonymous source with direct knowledge of the incident. All reports said the reported explosion happened off the coast of Jeddah on the Red Sea. The reported explosion comes after the US has alleged that in past months, Iran attacked oil tankers near the Strait of Hormuz, something denied by Tehran. The explosion could push tensions between Iran and US even higher, more than a year after US President Donald Trump unilaterally withdrew America from the nuclear deal and imposed sanctions, now crushing Iran's economy. The mysterious attacks on oil tankers near the Strait of Hormuz, Iran shooting down a US military surveillance drone, and other incidents across the wider Middle East followed Trump's decision. As soon as the news of the explosion came in, oil prices were affected and ended up rising 2% in the international markets. Turning now to a crisis that is brewing in Turkey after the announcement of the withdrawal of troops from northeastern Syria. Turkish ground forces crossed the border into northern Syria following air raids early Wednesday. Kurdish fighter groups allied with the US to fight ISIS are designated as terror groups by Turkey. So, the Kurds were helping the United States fight ISIS, and by March it was considered a completed effort, and several of the ISIS terrorists are in fact held in prisons, and about 70,000 refugees are still in that area. Now the concern is that with the withdrawal of the troops from there, who is going to be manning these jails with the terrorists in them? Will it be a Pandora's box that'll be opened and let ISIS fighters back out into the open, especially into Europe? These are the concerns. 8, by the way, are reported dead and 13 injured during the airstrikes, which is the latest conflict to afflict the already war-torn population, as UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres asked for all parties to exercise maximum restraint. Vox, meanwhile, has reported that President Erdogan of Turkey announced on Wednesday the launch of the campaign called Operation Peace Spring to establish a buffer zone between Turkey and Syria. Meanwhile, several NATO members have actually expressed support for Turkey's swift handling of its border security concerns, while a group of European allies on the council condemned the operation as a destabilizing incursion against the Kurds. Now, SDF, which were the allies, which is a Kurdish militia that the United States was helping out, that SDF is recognized as a terror group by Turkey, and that was what led to Erdogan's decision to launch attacks into northeastern Syria. And what has been the fallout politically for Donald Trump about this decision? Both Democrats and Republicans, in a rare show of bipartisan support, have condemned Trump for his actions and are putting together a bill sanctioning Turkey for its operation. The fallout of this could be bad, especially in the context of the impeachment inquiry proceedings against Donald Trump, because at least Conservative Party, the GOP, has always believed in allies, always believed in maintaining allies and border security, and of course, the fight against terror. Now, this puts all of that in jeopardy, and that is probably one of the reasons why Republicans are coming out and condemning openly Donald Trump, and how this will also dovetail into them also condemning President Trump about the calls that were made with Zelensky, where he solicited action against his potential political rival Joe Biden in the run-up to 2020 elections, remains to be seen. There was a poll that came out yesterday from Fox which said that 51% of registered voters that were polled are in favor of impeaching Donald Trump. Speaking of Donald Trump, Donald Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani's associates, have been arrested in a campaign finance scheme. New York federal prosecutors announced the arrest and indictment of two Ukrainian Rudy Giuliani associates on campaign finance charges. This according to a report by the Wall Street Journal. The New York Times has gone on to do some more reporting on this. Obviously, this is one of the hot pieces of news going around in the United States. Every single newspaper has it as their front headline. Using secret donations to PACs, that is political action committees, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman allegedly attempted to exchange a $325,000 foreign donation to America First for political influence. Their Wednesday evening arrest transpired at Dulles International Airport near Washington, D.C., as both men were attempting to board a plane with one-way tickets out of the United States. Parnas and Fruman, these two associates of Rudy Giuliani, were working with Giuliani to investigate Joe Biden and his son Hunter for their involvement in Ukraine. So if you've been confused about what is going on in Ukraine, this is the TLDR of it. During President Obama's reign, Vice President Joe Biden was looking at various corruption aspects that were going on in Ukraine, and he was trying to weed it out. So that was that, and there was no criminal activity that was detected, at least from Biden's side, with regards corruption there within his involvement in Ukraine. Now, Hunter Biden, that is Joe Biden's son, who's had a fairly difficult life himself, there was an excellent profile of him on The New Yorker, which I encourage you to read, has been sitting on the board of a company in Ukraine and has been making about $600,000 a year. Now, that happens to a lot of people. I mean, nepotism is the name of the game, at least when it comes to politics here in India, and certainly the case in the United States as well now, considering Donald Trump's own daughter and son-in-law are both very much part of the inner circle of the functioning of the White House. Now, the accusation is that Hunter Biden was receiving all of this money, and the company that he was on the board of was apparently under investigation, and Joe Biden, Trump is alleging, wanted the Ukraine to drop that investigation into the company on whose board his son was sitting. That is the favor, as he said it himself, that Trump made when he made that call to the Ukrainian president. It also came with the rider that if you don't investigate this company and make sure you get us dirt on Joe Biden based on his son's activities in Ukraine, we will not be releasing aid to you. That's about $250 million that Congress had already approved. They were sitting on this money, but they were holding this as ransom. You don't give us dirt on Joe Biden, we will not release this money. Now, Ukraine is in a particularly precarious political condition, as we know, after the annexation of Crimea. They want democracy to be there, and there is a new president who used to be a comedian, and look him up on YouTube. He's a colorful comedian, let's say. He clearly wants the aid, all the aid he can get from the developing world, for him to retain the democracy that has been established in Ukraine. Now, he says there was no push or force coming from Donald Trump's side, but if you listen to the call, if you read the transcript of the call, and and the number of whistleblower complaints that came right after, you know that it is hot water. Now, the men, these two associates of Giuliani who were working on all of these things, are facing charges of conspiracy, making false statements to the Federal Election Commission, and falsifying records for allegedly attempting to, quote, circumvent the federal laws against foreign interference by engaging in a scheme to funnel foreign money to candidates for federal and state office. This according to a report by CBS. Now, these two associates of Giuliani have now been arrested. Another extraordinary claim was made by Donald Trump. Republicans are savaging President Trump for allowing Turkey to attack U.S. allies in Syria, as the president offered various reasons for giving Turkey the green light, including the fact that Kurds did not fight alongside the United States in World War II. Several of these claims are in fact false. Turkey launched its military operation to flush Kurds allied with the U.S. out of northeastern Syria, which has of course sparked outrage. There are several other people who are also saying that this is a pact between Erdogan and Trump. CNN's Christian Amanpour has also reported that Trump was very much aware, knew in advance about the scope of the Turkish attack. Several Republicans have come out criticizing Donald Trump. Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming, Senator Marco Rubio, and of course, one of the cheerleaders of Donald Trump, Senator Lindsey Graham. Adding to this fire, of course, was Trump saying the Kurds haven't been that helpful after all. The fact of the matter is 11,000 of them have died in the fight against ISIS to help the US mission against ISIS. Trump, of course, went on to say they are there to help us with their land, and that's a different thing. And of course, went on to say they didn't help us in the Second World War. They didn't help us with Normandy, for example. Normandy, just for context, is not even in the area. It is in France. As Liz Cheney of Wyoming went on to say, Turkish troops preparing to invade Syria from the north, Russian-backed forces from the south, ISIS fighters attacking Raqqa. Impossible to understand why Donald Trump is leaving America's allies to be slaughtered and enabling the return of ISIS. There are, of course, other things going on as well. Donald Trump will sit down with China's Vice Premier Liu He today at the White House for deeper trade negotiations. The top-level conversation appeared to stall yesterday, but the Dow rose 100 points on news of further meetings. Across the pond, Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, and his counterpart in Ireland, Leo Varadkar, have agreed there is a pathway to a possible Brexit deal, surprising sceptical EU officials with their upbeat assessment after more than 3 hours of private talks. The British Prime Minister hosted his Irish counterpart at a country house in the northwest of England for talks on Thursday that had been expected to break down. But when the pair emerged from discussions, they painted a rather more optimistic picture, suggesting the Brexit logjam could be broken by the end of the month. The pair issued a positive joint statement, this according to The Guardian, although Varadkar said afterwards that while he believed the outline of a deal would be possible in time for the crunch summit of EU leaders next week, serious challenges remained and there was many a slip between cup and lip. Turning to Hong Kong now, Hong Kong officials have revealed that 750 of the protesters arrested during 4 months of unrest are children, sparking outrage in the city as anger continues to grow over the government's increasingly hardline measures against demonstrators. The semi-autonomous city's number two official, Matthew Cheung, said at a press conference on Thursday that it was shocking and heartbreaking that 750 out of the 2,379 people arrested, that is nearly a third, are under 18, and in fact 104 of them were under 16. Cheung appealed to parents and teachers to admonish youngsters and tell them to refrain from illegal or violent acts and avoid getting injured or arrested, something that would end up destroying their future. The high proportion of children has sparked outrage in the community. Well, this is interesting. At a Minneapolis rally that Donald Trump held, because, you know, he likes that ego boost every now and then. I know the election campaign has still not truly begun, but then when has it ever stopped for Donald Trump? Every time he feels badly about himself, he just goes to a rally and makes sure there are 20,000 people listening to some of his inane bullshit. And yesterday, at a similar rally in Minneapolis, they played Purple Rain by Prince without taking permission from the estate. And the Prince estate has dutifully complained about Trump. It is Nobel season. I've spoken to you about the chemistry winners, the literature winners for both this year and last year, and now we have the Peace Prize winner as well. The Norwegian Nobel Committee has decided to award the Nobel Peace Prize for 2019 to Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed Ali. Since taking power, Ahmed has championed the role of women in politics. He appointed women to half of his country's 20 ministerial posts in government, including the country's first female defense minister. The citation went on to say the Norwegian Nobel Committee has decided to award the prize to Ahmed and for his efforts to achieve peace and international cooperation and for his decisive initiative to resolve the border conflict with neighboring Eritrea. Other than the peace process with Eritrea, one of the more eye-catching initiatives to come out of the Ethiopian government under Abiy Ahmed's leadership has been the National Green Legacy Initiative. It has focused on planting 4 billion trees in the country by encouraging every citizen to plant at least 40 seedlings. According to the United Nations, Ethiopia's forest coverage was just 4% in the 2000s, down from 35% a century earlier. Back in July, the country planted 350 million trees in a single day. Our congratulations to Abiy Ahmed. You know, it's been about 20 to 22,000 years since the time man emerged from caves and started living in societies. Now, the reason I mention that is how long it would take for an average salaried full-time worker in the United States to become a billionaire. Now, the average annual income of a full-time salaried worker in the US was $46,800 as of last year. And assuming that this person spends no money on anything else other than the fact that they're just making money and not spending it on anything else, that's all they're doing. That person would take 21,000 years to get to $1 billion. That is pretty much the entire history of society, if you will. Now, while $1 billion is a huge amount of money, it isn't even close to how much the richest man among us has. He has about $130 billion. And for that average worker from America making $46,800 a year, to get to that amount of wealth, it would take 2.8 million years worth of work. And just for human context, like I said, 21,000 years is for us to appear from caves to live in societies. 2.8 million years is about 10 times longer than Homo sapiens as a species has existed on Earth. $46,800 is the amount of money an average American worker makes. Unfortunately, the Amazon worker, the company whose boss Jeff Bezos is under average because full-time Amazon workers, the lowest paid, stand at about $31,200. And it would take them about 4.15 billion years before they could make that kind of money. If you're listening to me in Bay Area, specifically San Francisco, I bear some bad news for you. There will be some horny tarantulas where you are. October is turning out to be a pretty bad month for San Francisco. Utilities company PG&E has, of course, initiated wide-ranging Bay Area blackouts to protect against the possibility of wildfires. Now, on top of that, the warmer weather has attracted thousands of tarantulas, big, scary-looking spiders looking for mates. So people living in Bay Area are not only battling darkness, but they're battling horny tarantulas in the dark. Tarantulas mostly come out at night during mating season. Males can be seen roaming around all hours to find a female for some lovin'. So this is what Bay Area citizens have to deal with. Now, if you thought spiders are completely useless, why are they even around? I hate them. Well, spiders are damn useful. They help humans by eating thousands of bugs every year, which are a threat to crops. If the spiders disappeared, we would face famine. This according to New York's American Museum of Natural History's Norman Platnick. Tarantulas do eat insects, frogs, and small lizards, and the spiders are actually mostly harmless to humans. Tarantula bites are reported, of course, but they're just painful like bee stings, and their venom is very, very mild. But arachnophobia, fear of spiders, especially of big, hairy tarantulas, is a real problem. And San Francisco, this is what you have coming these days. Those are all the pieces of news that I thought absolutely important for you to know, but how could I leave you without also telling what happened in the markets today? Some brisk buying in industry heavyweights like Infosys, HDFC, ICICI Bank, Hindustan Unilever, and Bharti Airtel helped benchmark indices settle with decent gains today. The BSE Sensex ended 0.65% up at 38,127.08. On the NSE, it was 11,301.25, up 0.59%.
You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
That's it. That's everything you absolutely had to know. On our Digging Deeper podcast, we will be talking to Radhika Gaggar and Shashvi Kadakia of Cyril Amarchand Mangaldas. These are lawyers there who specialize in estate planning, and they will be telling us how to make a will. So be sure to listen to that podcast. Until the next time you hear from me, which is going to be bright and early on Monday with Morning Walk Down Dalal Street and Stock Picks of the Day, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us, and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been today's Editor's Pick, and you've been listening to Money Control.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.